The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin. Austin, Texas.
Welcome to Breaking Beauty, the podcast all about the breakthrough people, products, and moments in beauty. We're your hosts, Jill Dunn and Carlene Higgins.
Welcome back to Breaking Beauty Podcast. I'm your co-host, Jill Dunn, and I'm here as always with my lovely co-host, Carlene Higgins.
Hey, girl. Hey. Of course, we're two longtime magazine beauty editors turned beauty podcasters delivering the breakthrough people, products, and moments in beauty every single Wednesday.
Yeah, we've been at it for like 7 years now. We interview amazing founders, people like Emily Weiss from Glossier. We also speak to some of the best and brightest minds shaping beauty trends today, like Makeup by Mario and skincare gurus like Joanna Vargas. And we also, of course, do our monthly hashtag damn good product review episodes, which, you know, as longtime beauty editors, we've kind of seen it all and swatched it all. So we always are here to tell you what's good. And today's episode, I'm really excited for because it's something like a little out of the box from what we normally do. But given that it is Women's History Month, there's no better time to reflect on MLMs, which is also known as multi-level marketing. And I just really feel that these types of businesses, they sort of purport to help women, but in my opinion, they're actually very detrimental to women.
I think what's great is we finally found the perfect person to interview. So joining us to chat about exposing MLM culture is Peabody and Emmy Award-winning journalist and author Jane Marie. She just simply goes by Jane Marie. No last name. How badass is that?
Obsessed.
And Jane Marie is the former producer of This American Life, not to mention she recently produced Michelle Obama's The Light podcast. Her writing has appeared in Jezebel, Cosmopolitan, and just yesterday, Jane Marie released her debut book called Selling the Dream, The Billion-Dollar Industry Bankrupting Americans.
Yeah, and many of you may be familiar with Jane Marie's work on the airwaves. She is the host of the podcast called The Dream, which spans three seasons. Personally, I was obsessed with season one, which was all about MLM culture. I'll never forget, Carlene, the first episode is titled, Do You Want to Swim in Cash? So it's really just all about the promise of these MLMs that kind of show up in your Facebook inbox. And it's like, I want you to hear about this amazing opportunity. You want to make money on the side. And it's just, you can be your own boss. Like it all sounds so good, but she really does this incredible job of like getting a lot of firsthand personal accounts about how a lot of times these MLMs, not only do they not make you money, you end up losing money. They rip families apart. And it's just incredible journalism.
And she also reflects back on how MLMs have touched her own life, you know, through her community and through her family. So it's really something that she's, you know, expanded on the podcast series and to write this book and dive even deeper into it. And then she also has season two, by the way, that's all about taking down like scamster wellness gurus. And season three is about life coaches, you know, that are really maybe not all that credible. So she really is diving into some of the topics that I think a lot of us are impacted by.
I've read the book, highly recommend it. And so in today's chat, we're also going to break down just what MLMs are. You probably have heard about it. Maybe you don't know the exact definition. Mm-hmm. You know, are they pyramid schemes for real? Are they legal?
Yeah.
And in a very fun role play, because Jane Marie tries to convince me to join an MLM with what can only be described as probably a script that's been used 1,000 times, you know,
exactly,
to get someone to join.
We also find out what sneaky brands are at Sephora that might actually be low-key MLMs. And Jane Marie also shares with us why people often don't report when they are indeed scammed by these businesses, you know, the kind of the psychology behind it, the victimhood after. And one of the things I was interested in hearing from her is how she's actually working to affect legislation and make change in this.
Yeah.
In this area, which I think is truly next level when it comes to podcast reporting.
Stay tuned to the very end where we have a fun little chat about a book blurb that is left for Jane Marie by the one and only Ira Glass. And if you are a podcast lover, you're going to know exactly who that is.
He's you know.
The king. Exactly. So without further ado, welcome Jane Marie. The Way is one of our show partners this week. So I'm all about products that get my hair looking good fast. I mean, I'd much rather binge watch reality shows or be sitting out on a patio than at home taming my hair. And let me introduce you to The Way's new anti-frizz cream. So it provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours, plus there's built-in heat protection for up to 450 degrees. And I love how easy it is to work the anti-frizz cream into my current hair routine. So I'll wash my hair with my beloved Way Detox Shampoo. You know, I love that one so much because it gets rid of dirt and oil and really deeply cleanses my scalp without ever stripping it. And it's safe for color-treated hair and for all hair types. And then once I'm out of the shower, I just apply a small amount of the anti-frizz cream on my damp hair. I rake it through with my fingers. There's no need to rinse it out. And then I just style it as usual. So you can let your hair air dry. You can do the usual blow dry. And I just find it's a time-saving addition to my routine because I'm not fighting with my frizz once my hair is dry. The end result, it's really smooth. My hair isn't weighed down at all. And my split ends look a lot more smooth. My hair looks quenched. And as with all Way products, they just smell so hashtag damn good. So frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theway.com spelled theouai.com and enter promo code beauty15 for 15% off any product. That's theway.com spelled theouai.com and use promo code beauty15 to save. We'll link to this offer in our show notes and on our website. Now on to the show.
Hi, friends. I'm Cameron Rogers, host of Freckled Foodie and Friends podcast, which is now on Dear Media. Are you wondering what just happened to your life after having a baby or struggling with your mental health during postpartum? That was me just a few months ago. Are you working on healing your relationship with yourself, your body, and or food? Same. We are all on a journey to self-love and acceptance, and I'm right there with you. That's what Freckled Foodie and Friends is all about, reminding you that no matter what, you are not alone. Make sure to tune in for season 5 launching with Dear Media on November 9th and subscribe to listen to new episodes every Wednesday morning.
So, welcome to Breaking Beauty Podcast, Jane. I totally remember you were like the OG GRWM guru. Like, I remember your beauty tutorials on the hairpin. So, you were out here without a ring light, doing the Lord's work, teasing your hair, doing your brows.
15 years ago.
Right?
It seems weird that that wasn't a thing yet.
Yeah.
Like, looking back on it, I was like, oh, because there were like a couple women I was obsessed with doing it, but like nobody was really doing it.
No, I know.
So yeah, it was just my MacBook and me, and that was it.
No lights.
And I did it all on iMovie. Looked like crap. Everything's like, if I go back to any of the videos, it's just like blurry garbage.
But I honestly think you should do it on TikTok now. Like, you've got such a good look.
Okay.
You know? No, but I feel like, you know, once a beauty girly, always, you know, you can
menopausal
go
menopausal makeup.
Hell yeah.
Yes. Really bad menopause news for you guys today.
Oh, what?
I got my period for the first time in 10 months. I have to start over.
Oh no.
And I'm on the patches. I'm doing all this stuff. And it just right broke with you. Through.
We're going to have to talk about this at the end because I am in the dark. I'm like feeling my way around toward menopause the in the
worst.
Dark. We're going to talk at the end because we have something else to talk about today, which is MLMs, the takedown with Jane Marie. And one thing that Jill did not mention is that, for a bit of background, is that since we started the show, which was 7 years ago, she would not allow a single MLM beauty brand to be on the show.
True.
Whether it was like actually good or not, because we review a lot of products. And she's like, no, just on principle, I'm not doing it. But we haven't really discussed it and unpacked it.
Okay, let's talk about
it. So this is like a very significant episode, yeah. I feel like, today for our listeners and for Jill. And, yeah. You know, yeah, let's yeah. do this.
You can't be too careful, too. There's secret MLMs out there in the beauty world.
Really?
Tons yeah. of them. Tons yeah. of them. There's so many sneaky
There's
ones.
There's some that are at Sephora.
Okay, we're going to talk about this.
And also, yeah, so let's just talk about what an MLM is. You know, I listened to your amazing podcast called The Dream, mm-hmm. where you started the journey unpacking this world.
Yes.
This, and then I also read your book, which just dropped yesterday, called Selling the Dream, which kind of builds on that. So how would you say the podcast and the book complement or differ from each other if people did check out the podcast?
Yeah, well, hopefully we're reaching another audience and our committed fan base. So that's one way it differs is that it's written for, you know, it's not a podcast.
Yeah.
Which was really hard to learn how to do, honestly, like to write a book as opposed to radio. Blogging and radio is the only kind of writing I knew how to do before this. So it will reach a different audience. Hopefully it reaches more people that are in the world of MLMs, because a lot of our existing podcast audience are anti-MLM kind of, or don't even know what it is and then come along with me. But, you know, but what's different about the book content-wise is we get to do, honestly, the first season, at the end of it, I was like, we could do this podcast forever.
Yeah, you know? Totally.
If it was just about MLMs, there would be a story every week, you know? It's not the structure of the show, so it didn't really work, but like, I could have kept making episodes weekly until the end of time.
Yeah.
There's so many stories. So that's what the book does. It kind of dives deeper into character studies. Yeah. Like the big question is like, who are the people that want to run these kinds of businesses? And who are the people that are okay with that? Because frankly, they're illegal. But what is the world of the people that want to maintain this business structure and the people who want to start businesses like this? Like, please tell me more about that. There was a lot of explaining in the podcast and some, you know, a few more contemporary stories, but this is really like the textbook.
Yeah. Well, so I guess people will get a little bit of a preview today. So let's start there. What are MLMs in a nutshell? What is the structure that we're kind of going to be unpacking here?
Okay. It looks like a triangle.
Okay.
Like this. I can't.
Not a pyramid, but a triangle. Yes. Got it.
They are companies that operate a little outside of your normal retail market. So they purport to be direct selling, you know, the direct selling or network marketing companies where you kind of walk up to someone's door and say, Avon calling, and sell someone makeup. But the way they really operate is when you sign up to become a seller within an MLM, you pay an entry fee. Like you get a little product for it or whatever, but you pay a sign up fee, $100, $200, $500. And they are purposefully designed to be almost impossible to succeed in. And we can talk about all the ways that that happens, but I believe it's on purpose. You fail pretty quickly, usually. And then someone's right behind you to pay that sign up fee again. And they make most of their money from those fees. That's just the first level of fees. If you stay in a little bit longer, because you're usually encouraged to, because your failure is like a you problem. If you're failing and you somehow make it to the next level, you're encouraged to spend money on things like courses or conventions or beefing up your sales kit, you know, to like make it really go. So you're spending a lot of money many levels up without making any money. And you're not encouraged to keep track of that either. Or making like small checks that wouldn't cover your costs. Like I just haven't spoken to one person in an MLM that writes their phone off.
Right.
Or the internet, or, you know, like understands the, or is encouraged to take business expenses on their taxes and things like that.
I was thinking about it while I was reading your book. I'm like, this is the ultimate girl math.
Yeah. Real
where
girl
you
math.
You don't pay any attention. They're not encouraged to pay attention, right?
I've seen every compensation booklet. There are no tax papers anywhere, no accounting. So yeah, that's basically how the business structure works, but people say there's a product in there, and that's how they remain legal, is that there is a product somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or
because
a service.
In the beauty industry, it would be beauty products. So you, based on your reporting, you know that they're making more money from all of these in-between costs that they sort of charge to their own employees than they make from selling the products themselves.
100%.
Wow.
Yes. Something like 99% of people lose money or don't make any money. Most of them lose in the business opportunity pursuit. So there are, I can't really think of a product on the MLM market that does better than the recruitment fees.
Yeah, right.
The recruitment fees are really where the people at the very top of that triangle-shaped business model are mm-hmm. making their money.
Right, right.
Yeah. One woman on the podcast said, we're like a bathtub with the drain open, meaning so many people want to get in on this opportunity. The pitch is so good that like we'll never run out of people to pay the sign-up fee.
Right.
And that's the it's revenue just like stream.
Infinite. Yeah. Wow. And I notice you're always careful to make the distinction in your work. MLMs are not pyramid schemes because pyramid schemes are illegal. So how would you say it's different? Or what's the loophole there?
It's not different. I'm scared of getting sued.
Yeah.
But you know what? No one's even ever threatened me. I haven't gotten one cease and desist.
Okay.
And so at this point, it's been 5 years I've been reporting on this.
Yeah, the triangle is now come a pyramid, everyone.
Yeah, come at me. It's a pyramid. I'm not scared anymore.
Okay.
But I did, you know, and I also get notes from like the lawyers at the publisher or,
yeah.
you know, the people that I work with at Stitcher to make the show.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
Pushkin saying, you know, we don't want to get sued either. And I don't make a distinction.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And I think the FTC agrees with me.
Yes.
And I've spoken to them
mm-hmm.
and they know that their laws are outdated and aren't their definition of a MLM and a pyramid scheme mm-hmm. could be much closer together.
Right.
And yeah. we're working on that.
Okay.
So, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Affecting change.
Hopefully,
out here.
Yeah.
Yes. So I understand, and you write in the book that your own great grandmother was mm-hmm. an Avon lady.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about her.
Grandma Maxine.
Yeah, that enterprise.
I mean, I didn't know enough about the actual business
yeah.
when I was growing up to know that like she probably wasn't making any money.
And
but I did know that it was really fun for me. Like the
yes.
little Avon samples that she would give us for Christmas and everything was Avon. And then, mm-hmm. you know, my grandma and my aunts all, you know, started doing it. And you would just get like a whole stocking full of Avon
yeah.
stuff. Skin So Soft for
oh my
mosquitoes
God.
In the
Absolutely.
Summer. You know, the different perfumes, the little lipstick sample. Sometimes it would be full size products. Woo. But a lot of times it was just the sample. Do you remember the eyeliner that was matchsticks?
I never saw that.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, that was my favorite. So,
that's
like these
cool.
little testers that were like
yeah.
matchstick in a matchstick
oh.
book.
Oh,
would, like,
interesting.
Rip it off, be able to line your eyes. Yeah. And Grandma Maxine always smelled strongly,
right?
Of Avon products,
yes.
perfumes, and stuff.
Yeah.
And sometimes you'd get a little piece of jewelry or something. But yeah, she got into that way later in life. She also, you know, eventually died in the shack that she lived in her whole life with, you know, sitting next to the oven with the door open and her cigarette ashtray sitting on the door of the oven because that's
yeah.
how she heated her house.
Yeah.
So MLMs, everybody.
Yeah.
So
she did not drive off in a pink Cadillac.
No.
My mom was a Nu Skin girly.
Oh, okay.
Which I benefited from as a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed using all of the products, but they also did not get rich from my parents, get rich from that experience. I actually went to a Rodan and Fields press trip once.
Okay. You did?
In San Francisco.
Wow.
And because I was working at a magazine and I went. So I went and to learn about their new products. And it was very interesting because it was a, I guess you wouldn't say a consumer event. It was a, what do they call them?
Consultants?
Yeah.
It was a consultant event. So I actually got to experience firsthand the rah-rah. And it's pretty cray-cray, the rah-rah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was all of their top performers or top
mm-hmm.
consultants.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like, we made a, it's like, I think they all had to have made $1 million
in
or something.
Sales.
Made a million.
Yeah.
Or sold a million.
Sold a million? Or,
yes.
Right.
Yes.
Their
right.
team had to have turned over $1 million in retail sales.
Okay. Is that?
They made $45,000.
Right.
You know,
yeah. Right.
At
so,
most.
So then they all got this trip or something and they
that
were,
they had
I
to
remember
pay for.
There was like a march.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you know
something?
That they have
paid
to
for
pay
it.
To
they
go.
Got an invitation.
Really?
Yeah. They pay for all
yeah.
of it.
Oh, interesting.
None of it's paid for.
Okay. See the mm-hmm. facade.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was pressed there
they,
and I didn't even
probably,
get the facts.
They probably flew you first class.
Put you up in a hotel.
Yeah, exactly.
Meanwhile, you're like,
bunking,
I love San Francisco.
They're bunking six to
it
a room.
It really yeah. was like a, they had some kind of a march, like a walk as part of it, where it was like, it really was a rah-rah
mm-hmm.
situation. It was
you can't leave something like that, go home, and then tell your husband, my business is failing and I have to quit.
Right.
Yeah.
I just spent $3,000 in San Francisco at this convention.
But it was definitely that vibe of, like, you know, the audience when Oprah's giving away her favorite things. Like, there's definitely that going on where the camaraderie and the kind of aspiration or whatever. It's fascinating.
I've talked to people who've been deprogrammed recently, you know, have gone out of MLMs and talked about how just, like, that felt like a psychosis in retrospect.
Wow.
Like, remembering themselves speaking on stage, some of them, or being in the front row at those rah-rah sessions, and just feeling like this out of body, you know.
Yeah.
It, like, now just going, I don't understand that that was me. Like, that doesn't, it feels like I was in a cult, essentially.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are they getting deprogrammed?
With cult deprogrammers?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, also they're, you know, leaving and deciding on their own that this is not for me anymore and finding deprogrammers through other people who have escaped, kind of, you know, online and TikTok or documentaries have a lot of, I mean, NXIVM was a MLM.
Yes. I know. I was obsessed. I was obsessed with that whole story.
And they didn't touch on the MLM a lot.
No.
But I talked to Sarah Edmondson and Nippy.
Oh, wow.
Recently. And yeah, we talked more about the MLM side of that cult.
Okay. But that's wild. And you talk in the book about the script, you know, how people get hooked. Mm-hmm. Do you think you could convince me for fun right now to join an MLM?
I mean, look, you're a great talker.
Okay.
And you're you're comfortable with strangers just coming into your space.
That's true.
You know, and you have this air of authority. Like, I'm sure you could talk to anybody and sell them this awesome bottle of water that we sell.
That I've been thinking about that.
It's ionized different. It has an alkaline ionized negative blah, 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 blah thing. And, you know, women of a certain age, we were talking about menopause earlier. I'm sure you know people who listen to you and think of you as someone with authority. You're going to have a really easy time selling this product.
Okay.
But it's just, and the starter pack is $299. I wouldn't start with the $299. Honestly, you can get in for that much. But if you spent $499, we're going to hit the ground running and you're going to be making director in a month.
Really?
Yes. And that on this chart here, it shows you that 1% of the people, and you're a 1%er, I can tell.
Yeah.
1% of the people make $1,000 a month at the director level.
Wow. Wouldn't I could buy, a lot, of, I could buy a lot of Zara with $1,000.
Yeah, some fun money.
I want to ask you about these brands that you said are
secret MLMs.
Secret MLMs that you
Beauty
can find
Counter.
At Sephora. What's that?
Beauty Counter?
Beauty Counter, yes. Mm-hmm.
It's,
yeah.
It's a brand that's at Sephora that's an MLM. Mm-hmm. I think just like, just Google, and if you see a join our team or become an ambassador or language like that on their main website in the About Us section, that is an indicator that it's an MLM.
This episode is brought to you in part by Macy's. Here at Breaking Beauty Podcast, we're so pleased to celebrate Women's History Month. And in the spirit of the theme for 2024, Women Who Advocate for Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion, we're thrilled to honor some of our favorite women-owned and led beauty brands at Macy's, like New Face, the at-home microcurrent device founded by two generations of professional estheticians; Black Girl Sunscreen, the Black-owned and female-owned sunscreen brand making SPF spicy, glowy, and sheer for all skin tones; Tarte Cosmetics, whose 25th anniversary 25 City Kindness Tour includes randomly choosing a local school in each city to shower deserving teachers and students with backpacks and school supplies in addition to clearing wish lists. You can find all of these great brands and more at Macy's, and you can join Macy's with Girls Inc. to empower a new generation of leaders now during Women's History Month. Throughout March, you can help fund STEM programs, as well as college and career readiness programming for girls, by simply rounding up your Macy's purchase, or when you donate online directly to Girls Inc., the preeminent girls leadership organization equipping girls to reach their full potential. Learn more and celebrate the creative power of women now and all year round at Macy's.com/purpose. That's Macy's.com/purpose. And now back to the show. According to the Federal Trade Commission in the U.S., an estimated 1% of MLM members walk away without making a loss. So 99% of people who join lose money. Mm-hmm. From your reporting, what have you learned about the people in general who participate in MLMs? Like, do they feel like they're responsible for not being successful, or do they generally feel like they've been duped?
Ooh, it's just not one or the other. And I would say, so the first thing is, these are all like, there's a lot of logical fallacies that we all work through every day, mm-hmm. like all the time. That's just natural to being a human being and keeping ourselves alive and positive yeah. enough to like make it to another day. You know, it's why we have religion, you know, like yes. these things that we believe in that aren't quite provable or true, but like it keeps hope alive. So in terms of, you know, what kinds of people get sucked in and what they're in there for, I think one reason people stay and lose a lot of money is our loss aversion and our honoring sunk costs. Or, you know, once you've, like, say you buy a car and it's a lemon, like, at least you didn't also sell your mom a car that's a lemon. But even understanding that you bought a lemon and then going, okay, I guess I have to sell this car or sue the person who sold it to me, or it's just going to be such a pain in the ass, so I'll fix it. I'll put another $5,000 into this car that I thought I was saving mm-hmm. $5,000 on, right?
Right.
And then you drive it and it keeps breaking down and you have to reach a point where you go, this is yeah. not the car. I now have to stop, get rid of that car, sell it to somebody else or trash it. And then I have yeah. to buy a new car and now I'm out $50,000, right? That is constantly happening in MLMs, which is like, put just 200 more in. And then it right. just stacks up where you're like, I'm 10,000 in the hole on this project. Like, is this where I quit?
Yeah.
No. And then this feeling like a sucker thing, getting people to self-identify as victims, especially in this world, is really, really hard because to join requires you to victimize others. And I have had talks with people who have left these organizations and feel terrible about, like, and really go to therapy around it, you know, that they had like tricked their mom, you know, they yeah. didn't know they were tricking yeah. anyone, but roped their entire community into this thing, and have had like rifts with people who are still in that they roped in, even uh-huh. though they've come to right. their senses. So, you know, I think saying I've been suckered and I've suckered other people is really, really hard to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, just, I never want to do that, you know?
Yeah. yeah.
And I'm sure I have suckered some people inadvertently in yeah. my yeah. life. But I yeah. don't know. I don't think about it every day. But right. you would have to in this situation. And it's really, really painful. Yeah. It's really yeah. painful to know how much you've lost, how much you've caused other people to lose.
Yeah. This is actually interesting because I remember watching like the Jeffrey Epstein documentaries mm-hmm. and some of the women who were being kind of
groomed.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. the women who were kind of being put on trial for being
the facilitators
for mm-hmm. bringing in other girls mm-hmm. and they, but at the same time, and they were kind of trying to say, but I too was a victim. Mm-hmm. And it was like, and the attitude was kind of like, but are you? Look what you went and did by bringing in right. all these girls. It's just kind of reminding me of that is yeah. like, is that person the victim or the perpetrator?
How would they know? You know what yeah. I mean? Yeah. Like you would need to convince them that they're both.
Right.
Yeah.
In order for enough people's voices of the 99% to come out and say, I'm a victim and a perpetrator. I'm
right.
both.
Exactly.
Because you are in an MLM, you 100% necessarily are.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's wild. Really, really hard identity to grab, especially when you've been in a sort of cult situation where this other identity mm-hmm. has been laid over top of you, which is mm-hmm. a boss babe.
Right.
You know, with like unlimited potential and mm-hmm. you're manifesting your dreams and you could do anything.
Yeah.
Like replacing that with victim and fraudster.
Yeah.
Oof. Like that's
a bit of a 180.
Yeah. it's a bit of an ego thing mm-hmm. too,
totally.
Right? Where mm-hmm. you're like, wait, I was feeling empowered from this.
I was really positive. I thought I was helping the world.
Exactly.
And my friends and my family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where it turns mm-hmm. out I've been duped. I'm too smart to be duped.
Well, we need like a critical mass of people. Former right. MLM sellers. And there's a lot more yeah. now than there were even when I started reporting 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Right. It's like a whole trend on TikTok with women who were at LuLaRoe
yeah.
or Arbonne or, mm-hmm. you know, any of the big current MLMs who are coming out and saying like, I was in a fog. I was in a cult.
Wow.
Like, yeah.
you know, speaking of this like sort of cohort of people that are coming together, I was looking at this anti-MLM Reddit thread that has nearly 850,000 people in there. Mm-hmm. And when I read the thread, so much of the content is coming from like concerned family and friends, you know? And I literally feel like your book is going to be like mailed to anonymously to like family and friends.
Left on the doorstep.
When the show first came out, that thread, I mean, that community, the r/anti-MLM was like maybe half the size it is, or maybe smaller. I don't know. It's really grown recently. It's awesome. And they've always been really supportive of the show.
Oh, that's great.
And early on, they would say, just send them the dream. Like, just make them listen to the dream. Yeah. And some people are like, I don't know. That feels like offensive. I'm like, well, they don't have any problem cold calling you for like to join their scheme.
Yeah. Right.
You're just recommending a podcast. Like, it's free.
Yeah.
They can listen for free.
Exactly.
I'm wondering when you did.
Let's take a road trip.
Yes. And
they can't control the Spotify. You're like, they're like, I don't want to listen to this. Well, I don't know how to change it.
Yeah, it's stuck.
Was there any particular story that stuck with you of like, you know, because you did interview so many people like of family relationships that were literally torn apart, like where they don't talk anymore, or like something that really you were like, what the?
Oh,
you know,
there are so many. I can't even. I mean, the woman that we featured in this latest season of The Dream, who's in the book a little bit, Jennifer Riala, lives in a really tiny, tiny community in Upper Peninsula in Michigan, Canada, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, it's like 1,500 people in her town. And so when she quit doing Arbonne after recruiting everybody and she has to drive a car around that has an Arbonne logo on it.
Oh, yeah.
But that's just last year that she quit. So she's still going through the whole, what is my new life now? Who are my friends? Where, you know, because it's such a limited social circle there to begin with. That was really hard on her. I know of too many marriages where there's either secret debt or debt that destroyed the family. There's a story from my hometown that I'm like itching to confirm, but a woman who lost a bunch of money in an MLM, there was an arson, and then she committed embezzlement from the arson insurance settlement thing to pay for her MLM debt and then went to prison. There's lots of stories like that where you just get in
it's
over your
desperate.
Head and you're $10,000 in debt and your husband doesn't know and you're just like,
So
it's a bit like gambling in that way.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. I mean, and the numbers are
more
worse.
Yeah.
The numbers are worse. At least in gambling, it's what, 49, 51, right?
Yeah.
You in the house.
Yeah, that's true. The odds are better.
Yeah.
Can you tell the story that's in your book about, I think it's your friend and she was a social worker and she ended up with their Mercedes?
That's her.
Okay.
That's Jennifer.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So can you explain to people, because this blew my mind, because you always think about you're getting the pink Cadillac, you're getting the car, but like tell everyone what actually happens.
So what happens with Jennifer at Arbonne is there's a level where you get a white Mercedes. Hers is an SUV. And you have to rank up, right? And the way you get to the level where you get the Mercedes is that your team under you sells buys $40,000 worth of product in one quarter or like 1 month and in one of the reporting periods, right? $40,000. So she was like the level right before that. And a new package came out from the company, from Arbonne. And they suggest that every representative of Arbonne buys four of everything. So any new packages, any new like gift sets or new products or whatever, get four, one for you, one to gift a potential recruit, one for parties to show people and one in your trunk to sell at the party in case you showed somebody something that they want. So this package came out that was like $500 or something like that. And she did convince all of her downline to buy one and they hit the $40,000 that way. Not by selling to outside people,
only
selling to people in the downline. That also Arbonne sellers.
Right.
Each bought four because you're supposed to do that.
Right.
For a good, as a big businesswoman who's thinking
strategically.
Exactly. So she got to her $40,000 and then ta-da, you're at the level of the Mercedes. So then, she finds out they don't give you a Mercedes. They credit you $800 for every month that you do that $40,000.
Oh.
Toward a car bonus that in order to get it, you have to go to a Mercedes dealer, get the official Arbonne Mercedes that has Arbonne placards on it, put it in your name with your credit in a lease. You can buy it or lease it, whatever you can afford to do with your credit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
And they'll credit you $800 per month, if you do all of that, they'll give you $800 per month for every month that you continue to sell the 40 grand a month.
Yeah. Wow.
So right away, she like, first of all, that doesn't cover even the payment, $800 right. on a brand new white Mercedes yeah. SUV.
Yeah.
It doesn't cover the insurance.
Right.
She can't replicate that $40,000 sale.
No, that's a one-hit wonder.
Unless they keep doing these packages or right. something. But
she needs new recruits for that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So right away, she couldn't. She still has it because right. it was in her name.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's not in the Arbonne. You know, it's not in their name.
Right.
They're not in any trouble.
Yeah.
If she quits Arbonne, she just now has a very expensive car.
Right. That she can't afford.
Can't afford. Oh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Was that as funny as it seemed in the book?
It was. Yes, it was. I felt like, I mean, she was just owning it, you know,
yeah.
she was in
yeah.
like, it's like you said, it's a small town where people are still looking at her driving around and she's not even part of it anymore.
We went mushroom hunting. Because I like to mushroom hunt and I knew she was in this area where there were, okay, morels. And so we found them right away. But then her car stands out so much that people kept stopping by and being like, Jennifer, what are you doing in my field or whatever? Why are you over here in this ditch?
It's not low key.
No,
at all.
Not at all.
Oh
it's
gosh.
An unfortunate flex.
Not
still.
The yeah. not the Arbonne white Mercedes yeah. SUV. No.
She needs to do one of those. Messages on her car. And I'll never forget driving down the highway and some guy had spray painted on the side of his own car, Saturn will not fix this car. And it was like in massive, just like spray painted on us. She needs to do something like that, like Arbonne and then sucks.
I just wanted to take like a screwdriver to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like key like, it.
Yeah, yeah,
pry
yeah.
all those
key,
things
key
off.
Key your own
yeah.
car.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Why I keyed my own car. Okay. My next question for you is, what proportion of these people who you interviewed for this mm-hmm. have reported their situation to whatever it would be, the Better Business Bureau or
FTC?
Not, they just don't?
No.
Okay.
It's one of the lowest FTC complaints that come in. And I think so statistically, they don't get very many of these complaints. Mm-hmm. They do call out for them every once in a while.
Okay.
Like, please send us a letter about this specific thing. And you would have to be in like the nerdiest circle to get this email from the FTC or you
right,
know, this press
yeah.
release that's like, if you got screwed over by an
right.
MLM, like who's reading the
yeah.
FTC website? I don't
yeah,
know.
No.
No shame to the people who work there, whatever.
Yeah.
But like, it's the government. Like
yeah.
we're not monitoring
yeah.
those sites for like what to do on social media.
Yeah.
They do ask for it every once in a while, but the FTC is tasked with so much really necessary work that it's
yeah.
like, it's almost criminal that they aren't funded more and aren't a bigger organization. They have to deal with credit card fraud.
Right.
They have to deal with phishing. They have to deal with like telephone scams. They
yeah.
deal with robocalls.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
deal every kind of fraud that you can get up to in the United States that
yeah.
isn't killing someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is under the purview of
wow.
this tiny organization that has a budget that's like a tenth of the annual budget of your regular MLM.
Right.
Like one
yeah.
regular
yeah.
MLM, you know, they're tiny and
yeah.
they have so much going on. And
yeah.
I, you know, I'm happy that they're starting to make this a priority again. They did in the 60s and 70s, and they've had periods where it's been like a
okay.
focus of theirs.
Yeah.
And I think post COVID, it became mm-hmm. a priority again because the industry really took advantage of that.
Working
you know,
from home, yeah.
And profiteering on the medical side of things because a lot of the wellness companies and MLMs said we can
yeah.
cure or prevent COVID, which
right.
is also the FTC's job.
Mm-hmm.
They have
yeah.
to go after like false claims about products,
right.
you know, and product defects. And it's just too much
yeah.
for them to
yeah.
be doing.
Right. And nobody wants to fund them in terms of, you
no.
know,
there's
lobbyists.
No lobbies.
There's no lobbyists going,
more
can
rules.
We please send some more money to the FTC? Yeah.
So, yeah, not that I know of anyway.
Yeah.
Not anyone
right.
who's, I mean, there are campaigns that people feel like,
yeah.
oh, we need to get on top of
yeah.
credit card fraud.
Right.
But like as a
right.
whole organization.
But like, has anybody
yeah.
legally sued them? Or their
the
paperwork is just, no,
oh,
the
oh.
MLMs. Like,
yeah, the FTC does file lawsuits sometimes. So there are some MLMs that have been shut down, you
yeah.
know, and they usually win, but
hmm.
they don't have the evidence often to
mm-hmm.
take it all the way to
right.
a pyramid scheme case. So often they shut them down by saying you have false product claims, you know, that
mm-hmm.
you can like
right.
cure some
right.
disease or
right.
something and you have to stop saying that. And then that kind
yeah.
of melts the business down. There are occasions where they do identify a company as a pyramid scheme and they get shut down that way. But it has to be kind of overwhelming evidence. When the Amway case happened in the 70s, they literally had to knock on doors and then get people to do the thing that we're talking about, which is the hardest thing to do, which is say, I was suckered and I suckered the guy next door. You got to go over there now.
Yeah.
Like that's what it takes, right? Mm-hmm. Is like a critical mass of people saying, yeah, this is a fraud. So that's really hard work to do. Mm-hmm. It's hard. I mean, like I had a hard enough time just getting people to talk for a podcast or a book.
Right.
Can you imagine getting... these folks to be like, and now you're going to sit in court.
Yeah, right. Forget it. Yeah. So they just like cut their losses, slink away, blame themselves, and then deprogram in some cases.
And the blaming themselves is part of their training. It's part of the culture of MLMs is, you know, I have not found evidence of an MLM responding to a seller's failure with, oh, well, maybe we need to look into our product or look into our pricing or look into our packaging.
Yeah.
Never. It's that you're not trying hard enough. You're not putting enough of yourself and your money into this.
Yeah.
Which typically the market would work out those things. Like if a product isn't selling, it's maybe because it smells bad.
Right.
Or like with the Alcone stuff, the Lime Life stuff that I tried.
Yeah.
Just makes my skin burn off, you know, like it hurts and it stinks and I don't want to use it.
Right.
But they're not fixing that. They're just telling women you're not trying hard enough.
Right.
Right.
On your latest season of The Dream, there are three seasons. It focuses on the whole notion of life coaches, which is like another pet peeve of mine, no surprise. And you say that there's a tie that binds between these two kind of cultures, right? Yes, exactly. So what was your, like, was there anything that surprised you when you were sort of looking at the overlap or anything?
I think that the life coaching, the boom in life coaching and the focus in MLMs on self-improvement, on taking personal accountability, on, you know, maximizing your time, earning money with every extra hour you have in the day. Like all of these things mesh really well together. And a life coach is often kind of a life coach outside of an MLM, which a lot of MLMs have deals with life coaches that you can, your career coaches, MLM coaches. That's a huge industry in and of itself.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, just go on YouTube and be like, MLM coach. And it's just like, pfft, like bajillions of views and people that say, I can help you with your MLM business. Here's how you do it. Here's how you scale.
Right.
So they're naturally really close to one another, just with their philosophy of like, you know, you can do anything you set your mind to.
That's so wild.
Even though the whole system's rigged against you.
Funny how that works. And I know that you've spoken out about this a little bit before, but something pretty wild happened to you in season three of The Dream, which is one of the interview subjects in season three, was Jessie Lee Ward. She was the self-proclaimed number one network marketer in the world, self-proclaimed. And she was charging coaching clients to go on these wild trips and charging them thousands of dollars. And how that story played out was pretty unique to you as a journalist, right? Can you shed some light on that for people who may not know about it?
Yeah. So that makes me so uncomfortable, but I will talk about it. So I spoke to her and we had reached out a number of times to her press people because I wanted to talk to her partly because she's the network, the number one network marketer in the world.
Quite a title.
And then also because she had recently done this trip with her like executive success program.
Yeah.
Folks and took them to Columbia. And it was kind of this, I don't know, like they went on like a really scary hike and did some weird, not trust falls, right? Yeah. Like the next level up from trust falls to like break them down and build them back up in her words. She wanted to break down these folks and put them through hell and build them back up in her image, apparently.
Yeah.
And charge them a lot of money to do that. And so there was like a backlash online and I caught on to that and thought, I want to talk to this lady. Like, what's her deal?
Yeah.
She seems like a, you know, a cult leader or whatever. And eventually she said yes, but it was her assistant that said yes to the interview. And I was so nervous going into this interview because around the same time or a few months earlier, she had been diagnosed with cancer, with colon cancer, stage four colon cancer, which we all know is like, one of the worst things that you could ever get in the world. And I was like super anxious because I didn't want to hold her feet to the fire really in a way that I would if she were a healthy person. You know, I just thought like she's compromised here. And also like you can't be mean to somebody. Whatever.
Yeah.
And who knows, maybe her motivation for doing this was to make money to pay for cancer treatment. But turns out, no, like she was going to do it all natural. She was, in my opinion, at this point, and this is just my opinion, I think maybe her cancer was too far along to do the traditional treatments. And so she went an alternative route, which is fine. But she started saying some really irresponsible stuff about it to her fan base. Like, you know, you don't need mammograms. You'll know when something's wrong with your breasts. Don't get chemo. It's bad for you. Don't get radiation. Mm-hmm. It's bad for you. That kind of stuff. Anyway, we got on the phone and I was doing the interview, but I didn't realize, and I had asked her permission. Like, I got a release signed and everything. I didn't realize she was live broadcasting our conversation on all of her channels.
So crazy.
So gnarly. And I found out halfway in because people started texting me. I was like in Michigan at my mom's house without like real internet. I was on the phone.
Yeah.
And so I was having even like connectivity issues, like talking to them over the phone. Mm-hmm. And all of it was broadcast. Then she like, when I hung up, and I didn't confront her about it at the time because we were really getting, I thought we were getting somewhere in our interview,
right,
like having a nice moment. When I hung up, she just ripped into me. And then spent like the next 3 days.
On the live stream?
Yep. Yeah. On the live stream with her people still sitting there. You can still see it. Just look up Jessie Lee Ward. I don't know if it's going to say the dream or what, but it's still out there of her being like, that girl's an idiot. And did you see this? You know, God said no, bitch. Like when it made my phone mess up, whatever. She was really, really nasty. And then she continued talking about me for days on her social media channels. Mm-hmm. Just about what I think she called me a dingleberry.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Which is like, okay. I haven't heard that since my little brother, when I was 8 or whatever. And then she died.
Right.
And then she died. And then that was like, she died the day or 2 days after the season launched. And you could hear the whole season was paywalled for a few weeks. So the whole season was out there, her episode and everything, where I had said, F her. After the interview and stuff, I was angry and not angry, but I was just like, whatever.
Yeah.
And then she died. And there has been, I haven't really seen a reaction from people being like, now that she's gone, we can be honest about, there's been, you know, just a lot of rah-rah stuff coming out since then. And, you know, it's, in the book, I talk about a lot of these big MLM folks that die early or very tragic deaths, which to me is enough evidence that like your positivity and your manifestation doesn't actually change the universe,
course of things that are going to happen.
The universe sucks sometimes, you know, and you can't think your way out of it or cheer your way out of it or sell your way out of it. Like, we're all going to die.
Yeah.
And so she did. And that was just really tough because I didn't know what to do, whether to come out and make a new episode or a, you know, I felt horrible. And I still just feel horrible about it. It just doesn't feel good.
Yeah. As a journalist, I can definitely relate to that in terms of like the work versus like your personal struggle of like, I'm sure it was hard to just even like put it out there in the same.
I called a lot of her critics that had already been talking about her online and said, what are you going to do with your content?
Right.
You know, like what are we doing?
Yeah.
Are we taking stuff down? Are we caveating? And I ended up putting on the wide release version of the episode, I put a warning
kind
of at the last episode.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So this is kind of icky. But
now that you have a bit of distance from it, do you feel any differently than when the episode came out? Like when you reflect on it?
I've had enough conversations now. Yeah. And I do in the 10th episode with my friend Megan, who's a death coach. I've had enough conversations now where I've come to really accept that people live the way they want to. They put the messages out there that they want to. And if it seems conflicting to me or whatever, and they die, who am I to take that away from? Like, you know, she said what she said.
That's right. That's right. And she agreed to do the interview.
She agreed to do the interview.
When she was not feeling her best or whatever.
To her people. And she did what she did on the trip. And I can't change that.
That's right.
My bad feeling about the fact that she ended up dead.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's so. Yeah, she still has to take that on, even though she's not here.
Yeah, yeah.
But I wish it didn't happen.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
I wish I wish she was fine, and that we could continue fighting with each other.
Yeah,
you know, that would be better.
Yes, that would be the ideal scenario. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So, switching gears a little bit.
Okay, good.
taking you off the hot seat. I know that you collaborate with Higher Ground Media. So this is like the Obama's production company. So you worked on Michelle Obama's podcast, The Light, The Light podcast. So any teasers on what productions you might be working on next?
You know, no, because podcasting is going through a moment.
Yes.
Yeah. I can't. We're at a weird. Does Dear Media want to do anything?
Yeah. I'm sure you can pitch right now.
I have a show coming out that I produced with Bradley Cooper's production company, Leo Pictures, that is very cool. It's coming out March 13th, the day after the book.
Okay.
And it is called Finally a Show About Women that isn't just a thinly veiled aspirational nightmare.
Okay.
That's the name of the show.
Wow. Wow.
Was there SEO research that went into that title?
Finally a show for short. But yeah, finally a show about women that isn't just a thinly veiled aspirational nightmare comes out March 13th.
Yeah.
And it will be on iHeart. And it's a documentary, verite documentary style show where we spend a full day with a woman. And there's no host and there's no narrator. It is, you're immersed in a world. It's kind of like reality TV. For the radio.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Say more.
For the podcast. Yeah.
So I am obsessed with like Bravo, everything. So this is.
Yeah.
This
but it's not an aspirational nightmare, which is the thing that's different about it. But you know, we spend a day with a woman who provides a medical abortion via telehealth, like on her computer from her ranch in Colorado.
Wow.
Which is very cool. And we talk to some patients that she speaks to and just spend time with her dogs and stuff. We speak to a woman here, Courtney Casgrove, is a friend of mine who does my eyelashes every once in a while. She is a beauty maven, runs this company called GBY Beauty, and also is running for Congress.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yes. And is a former sex worker. And it's just
cool.
Utterly fascinating. We talk to a woman who runs a crematorium. We talk with a woman who is was for 5 years one of the only female fishmongers at the Pike Place Market where they throw fishes.
Oh my God, in Seattle, yes.
I spent the day there with her.
Oh my goodness.
And then that night, you know, we spent
the
whole day.
This is like field reporting.
Field reporting.
Okay.
On the scene. No narrator. You don't hear an interviewer. It's just a woman and her day.
Oh.
And it's fascinating and really fun just to kind of be a fly on the wall to what we do with our time.
That's cool. I love that.
Nobody's telling you to like be, you know, take a wellness drink or
get some
surgeries or dress a certain way.
Yeah.
So we just have one final question, and that is, what is the next scam that needs calling out or, you know, needs to be broken down and exposed?
There's huge ones that I'm always interested in, like healthcare.
Yeah.
What? Mm-hmm. Education, huh? You know, like, what are we doing? What's college? Like, that seems like a load of crap anymore.
Yeah.
So those are, you know, those big institutional things are the things that we like to tackle. I always feel pulled toward like the marriage industrial complex, you know, wedding industrial complex.
Yeah.
Right. But then I come back off of it. Like, we almost went there in the last season. And then I was like, I can't get mad at love.
But everybody buy Jane Marine's book,
Selling the Dream.
It's called Selling the Dream. Great cover. There's a great manicure on the cover. Everything.
I keep thinking I want to have people take pictures for social media, like having this be their hand. You know how they do that?
Oh, that's cute.
They
that's
do that
so
with,
funny.
I don't know if it'll work, but you know how you do that with album covers and heads. And,
Okay. We're going to do that right now. But thank you so much for being with us today. Learned so much.
Great.
Yeah.
Everyone share this episode. Tell a friend and they can tell a friend. Then they can tell a friend.
And recommend it to all your
price of $29.99.
Recommend it to all your friends selling you makeup in your DMs. You know, just
hey,
to be like, oh, I might buy that mascara next week. But did you hear this book? We have an audiobook too. So it's like a new season of the podcast.
Okay.
Yeah. For people who are on the move. By the way, I just need my final thought is the blurb on your book, which I haven't seen before. Hmm. It's from Ira Glass, everybody. Just the incredible icon.
I suggested this to him and I was joking.
Okay, read it out
loud. My blurb. And then he was like, that sounds great.
Okay, Ira Glass's blurb says, so my former intern wrote a book. You're looking at it. I knew nothing about this world and loved learning about it from Jane.
And I was like, when my publishers were like, yeah, we'll put that one on there. I was like, but I wasn't just as I was his intern for 6 months.
Yeah.
And then I was a producer for 10 years, you know. And but now it just looks like I was just his intern.
Anyway, we'll leave it there. But thank you so much, Jane Marie.
Thank you.
It was fun. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You can find details on every product mentioned in today's episode, along with our exclusive promo codes, on our blog at BreakingBeautyPodcast.com.
While you're there, be sure to sign up for our newsletter. Every episode will be delivered directly to your inbox, so you won't miss a single thing.
And get social with us. Let us know what you think of the episode. You can follow us on Instagram at BreakingBeautyPodcast.
And did you know we also have a private Facebook group? Just search Breaking Beauty Podcast Chat Room.
You can even leave us a voicemail at any time with questions or feedback at 1-844-227-0302.
And don't forget to subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast fix.
Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts, where you can show us some love by writing a review.
See you next Wednesday.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.